Now to him who loved us and made us a kingdom of priests to his God and Father, all glory in the church now and throughout eternity. Amen. That's right, it's the shortest verse in the entire Bible. Many of you learned it many years ago, perhaps in Sunday school, John 11:35. Jesus wept. Only two words. Jesus is the Son of God, and Jesus is the Son of Man. And there are times, of course, in his three-year earthly ministry that we can see almost the divine nature bursting through the human nature. When Jesus does those fabulous miracles that no one else could do, Jesus atop the Mount of the Transfiguration. But let's not forget for a moment that there are times when Jesus' human qualities become very apparent also. There were times when the Son of Man grew hungry and thirsty. There were times when he grew weary and tired. There are times we read in the Gospels when Jesus was just filled with joy and elation. But there were also times when Jesus was saddened and Jesus wept. In the four Gospels, there's only one other instance mentioned where Jesus is crying, and that took place on that first Palm Sunday, just as Jesus upon the donkey is about to enter the city gate of Jerusalem. It's St. Luke that tells us Jesus wept over Jerusalem, saying, "Would that even now today you had known the things that make for peace." Yes, Jesus wept. It's the writer of Hebrews in chapter 5, words that we so often read on Good Friday, that tell us Jesus wept certainly during that time when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane. Jesus wept throughout that whole ordeal of his suffering and passion. The writer says in the days of his flesh, Jesus offered up prayers and supplications to the one who could save him from death with loud cries and tears, it says. And although he was a son, he learned obedience through what he suffered, and he now has become the source of eternal life for all who put their faith and trust in him. But why was it that Jesus wept in the presence of Martha and Mary? All the mourners were there that day. In the verses preceding the gospel lesson, we're told that when Mary and Martha send the word to Jesus wherever he's at, he doesn't pack up his things and leave immediately. He purposely delays getting there 2 days later, and he even says that the death of Lazarus is going to result in God the Father being glorified and God being glorified through him. Jesus certainly knew ahead of time what the outcome of the day's events were going to be. And yet, Jesus weeps. Jesus, true God, is also true man. And here we see the compassionate Son of God doing what he did the most often. He is comforting, breaking, and grieving hearts with the Word of God. You know, maybe a part of the reason that Jesus wept that day is because he had lost to death a very dear friend. When you read Luke's gospel, for example, in chapter 10, you can see that there were times when Jesus would stop by the home of Lazarus and Mary and Martha, and that he would break bread with them. He socialized with them. You know, in addition to being Jesus' disciple, maybe he was one of those few people with whom Jesus, you know, simply enjoyed spending time. We all know that we can have thousands of acquaintances as we make our way through this life. I remember the choir director in the church where I interned asking me years ago, you know, but about friendship, when it comes to true friendship, someone who loves you through thick and thin, someone who's always there and seeks to understand, why, those people are rare commodities indeed. If we're to have the kind of friendship with others that Jonathan and David had during the days of King Saul, Jesus may have been weeping because he lost a dear friend to death. Jesus may have been weeping also because of the express disappointment that Mary and Martha find in Jesus that they tell him about directly to his face. It's Martha who says it first, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." Mary doesn't hear what Martha says, and yet she comes out of the house and echoes, maybe it's a conversation they had had during those 4 days since Lazarus' death. You know, it seems as if there are even those in the crowd who seem to be pointing the finger of blame at Jesus, who say, could not this man who opened the eyes of the blind man kept this man from dying? You know, despite the disciples' outcry at times to Jesus expressing their disappointment, there are those times, you know, when people in the Gospels, they express their disappointment in Jesus, directly to Jesus. Let me just give you one more example. Remember the boat Mark tells us about, chapter 4, that was out there on the Sea of Galilee, when suddenly there was the storm that came about with hurricane force winds, and the disciples were doing everything they could in their own limited human power to keep the situation under control. And where is Jesus? Where is Jesus? He's sleeping on a cushion in the front of the boat. And they shake him and they wake him up. "Wake up! Wake up, Jesus," they said. And then they express their disappointment. "Do you not care, Jesus, that we're perishing?" Now, Jesus had proven to them over and over again. Jesus proves to us throughout our lifetimes over and over again how much he loves and cares for us. But in that instance, as in others, Jesus would do something drastic. He would stand up, and he who was the Son of God in human flesh said, "Peace, be still." And those churning seas suddenly became, Mark says, to use his language, a dead calm. Now the disciples are really frightened. "Who is this one who even the wind and the waves obey him?" And then Jesus asked afterwards, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?" You know that's a rhetorical question because the answer is in the question itself. It's when our faith is small at times we tend to doubt. The most drastic thing that Jesus would ever do to prove his love to the Father and to all of us is when he would make that very long and lonesome journey all the way from Galilee to the cross, where he would be sacrificed at the time when all those other Passover lambs were being sacrificed in the background. Here is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Here is the sacrifice to end all sacrifices. And if the church is to be faithful in proclaiming the word of God in these days of Lent before Easter, that's always where the focus must be. And isn't that where God brings the focus? Why, every time at his invitation we gather around the holy table, it puts Jesus' death and resurrection front and center. It's offering Jesus' forgiveness and eternal life to all who repent of their sins and come in faith. You know, perhaps a third reason Jesus may have been weeping. They say sometimes when a friend dies, there's a part of us that dies along with them. That grief and sorrow are very much a part of our human life. In 1840, the American poet Henry Wadsworth Longfellow, he wrote a beautiful poem entitled "The Village Blacksmith," and the poem is about a man who was working in a blacksmith in a blacksmith shop in a large farming community in Pennsylvania. At a young age, his wife was taken away from him in death, and he had 4 small children. He was a believer, and he continued to take his children to the Lord's house each and every Sabbath day. And he loved to hear the sermon, and he loved to hear the scriptures read, But the part of the service that seemed to touch him the most is when his young daughter's voice could be heard singing in the choir, which sounded to him so much like the precious voice of his dear wife. You know, Longfellow writes of the blacksmith, "He needs must think of her once more, how in the grave she lies, and with his hard, rough hands, he wipes tears from his eyes." Yet maybe there's a fourth reason I could share with you. It's not explicit simply in the Gospel of chapter 11, but when you read the Gospel of John as a whole, you can certainly see that Lazarus' death was, in many respects, it was a prelude to Jesus' own death. There's so many similarities between both those accounts. Someone, as I was reading, brought to my attention recently, I found them insightful, that in both accounts, Lazarus' death, Jesus is troubled and Jesus is weeping. In both accounts, Jesus cries out with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out," as he closes his eyes in death. John chapter 19, it said that Jesus cried out with a loud voice, "It is finished," indicating his victory. In both accounts, their respective tombs were not far from Jerusalem. In both respects, their slain bodies was put into an expensive place to be buried inside of a cave, and there was a stone that was rolled in front of that cave, and in both cases, the stone was rolled away from the grave. In both cases, there's a mention of grave clothes. But what are we talking about? The death of Lazarus or the death of Jesus? The similarities are striking, and through these similarities, the Apostle John may have been hoping to share with us some profound spiritual truths, namely, for Lazarus to come out of the tomb, Jesus would a short time later enter the tomb. It was this story of Lazarus and the fact that Lazarus was walking around in his own flesh and blood that prompted the religious authorities that then put Christ to death. For Lazarus to live, this meant Jesus had to die. For Lazarus to come to believe himself that Jesus was and is the resurrection of the life, Jesus must first go to the cross. Tears of sadness, tears of gladness. Have you stopped to think about it ever? That's exactly what took place there that day at the tomb of Lazarus. All these mourners, Mary and Martha, were weeping and shedding tears, and also Jesus himself was shedding tears. But at the command of the Son of God, Lazarus came forth, and suddenly those tears of sadness were turned into tears of gladness. Even more so when Good Friday would be followed by Easter Sunday. And as the Spirit of God who raised Jesus from Christ from the dead dwells in you and me, well, isn't that part of our journey in faith here too? That there are times when there are loved ones whom we've loved dearly with all our heart, maybe for many years, and they're at the end of their personal journey and they close their eyes in death, and we don't weep so much tears of sadness, really, as we do tears of gladness for them. I'm not talking about when a young child is snatched away from their parents through some horrible accident in life. We also grieve. We also have our tears of sadness. But Paul says, "I would not have you grieve as others do who have no hope. For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so through Jesus, God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep." In these gladness, amid all sadness, Jesus, sunshine of my life. May the Lord God Almighty continue always as we journey through this world to the next to turn our tears of sadness into tears of gladness. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.